All right, my friends, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, starting with verse number 15, one verse for our key text. And when you found it, why don't you rise for the reading of God's word? 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15. It's a very well-known verse, and rightly so. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for your mercy to us. We ask you that you help us as we consider your word today to understand where we are in relationship to you, in our personal relationship, as well as are we workmen that need not to be ashamed as we rightly divide your word. Lord, we ask you that you enlighten us, empower us, and encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 15, Paul gives this pinnacle verse, very important principle to his son in the faith. Now, Timothy was not Paul's biological son, but he calls him his son in the faith, in that Paul was the one who really led Timothy to the Lord. He raised him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of course, Timothy's parent, his mother and his grandmother were very important teaching Timothy to love the Lord, but Paul came along as a spiritual father and discipled him in the ways of being called of God and being a preacher. 2 Timothy is written as Paul is anticipating his death. He knows that it's not going to be long before his life is sacrificed and martyred by the Romans. And in this passage in which he anticipates being gone, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I've said many times that it's not how much we know or how much we learn that makes us acceptable to God and brings us salvation, because otherwise, if only the smart people could get to heaven, then a lot of folks would be left out. If a lot of, well-trained, well-educated, that's not what makes us acceptable to God. But at the same time, we should never discount the importance of studying the Word of God and of knowing how to use the Word of God in our spiritual life. We see that in Acts, the Pharisees took note of the disciples, and the Bible says that they specifically, when they met with the disciples talking about the miracles that were being done in Jesus' name, they said about the disciples among themselves, they said, well, we could see that these men are not educated. They're not college trained, or the equivalent, of course. They're not educated men. And yet they took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. There's an education that you get from knowing God's word in a way that no amount of college education can give you. And yet there is a great benefit to studying and to proving ourselves with God. You don't have to go to the world's university to study the Word of God, but you do need to study the Word of God, right? So we're going to look at this. The title of the message is Study to Show. And today we're going to go a little bit differently than we usually do, in that I did a little bit of studying of the Greek in this verse today, and I found some interesting things that I'm going to share them with you. First, we look at the first point is study. In this passage, of course, he says study. And the word in Greek here is, get ready, you ready? Spoudazo. Aren't you glad I shared that with you? Spoudazo. Hey, it's just kind of fun to say anyways. But it means to use speed, to make effort, to be prompt. Oh, hey, there's a word for us. We could say to be on time. To be prompt. You know, there was a time when coming to church, there was a lot of people here before service even started. And they were busy greeting people and making sure people felt at home and coming into church and making sure that people knew that this was a place that they were welcome at. Now, a lot of those folks have passed on. You know, I think of Sister Vernedith and Sister Bernice and a lot of those ladies, you know, and a lot of folks that used to make people feel welcome in coming to church. But just because they've passed on doesn't mean that people don't need to feel welcome. There should be a welcoming committee at that back door when people come in. Hey, good to see you. We're glad you're here and welcoming new people. And to do that, you got to be prompt, to be on time. That's one of the senses of this word spoudazo, or as it's translated here properly, to study. Also, it means to give diligent, to be diligent, to endeavor, to labor, to work, to study. You know, study is not always easy, you know. As we all know, there were times in every person's life when you look at school and you say, I'm sick of school. What do we ever need to have this for? I was talking to Erin Strausser yesterday, and she was telling me about her studies in calculus and trigonometry, and there's some of that stuff that, you know, calculus is figuring out the area of the underside of a curve where two lines do not meet. I have no idea why anybody would care. But she explained to me that, you know, it helps for aerodynamics and it helps you to understand, you know, how to make airplanes and things like this. And now once she explained that to me, that makes sense. But, you know, the only way you'd ever get to that is by studying. Well, certainly studying the Word of God is the emphasis that we're making today, and certainly much more beneficial than most of us don't need to know about aerodynamics and about calculus and the area of the underside of a curve. But but the point is that study isn't always easy, but it is worth doing. You know, part of the problem with the Christian church is that Christians don't know what they used to know about the Word of God. We live in a day when there is a, whether you know it or not, there is a political push to purposely not train our youth the way they used to be trained. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am somewhat interested in education. I serve on the board as the vice president down the street. You know, we meet every month to make sure the policy decisions are right, and we discipline committee is held, and we do these different things because education's important. And, you know, we homeschool our children because education is important. And we learned about education while we were in college at Midwestern. And through the years, education is something that I've tried to pay some level of attention to, although I'm not an expert in it. But I have seen through the years that there is a purposeful political push to dumb down American students. And you may think that that's crazy, but the fact is that there are those who don't want individual thinkers coming out of our educational system. They purposely want children to not learn how to think critically the way we used to teach our students. Now, I praise God for my grandmother who was, you know, she wasn't rich, but she was willing to pay for me and my brother and sister to go to private school. And I learned how to think critically, and I learned how to think for myself, and I learned how to examine and how to reason and how to do these things on a high school level. And I learned to think critically. And it takes study to do that. But because we live in a day when it's not cool to be smart, and we live in a day when those who are the sports guys and the cool guys, they're rewarded socially at high school very often. And it seems like in Christianity today, the same trend has occurred where, in general, the society doesn't study like it used to. In specific, Christians do not study like they used to. And it's a sad fact that so many Christians don't know the Word of God because the only exposure they get to the Word of God is what they get on a Sunday. Or maybe they come Sunday night as well, so they get a little bit more. Or maybe they come on a Wednesday night too. That's great. But you know what? God says, study to show thyself approved. Your work to know God's word is your responsibility. Now, I do my best to bring you everything I can. And, you know, I love to teach all sorts of little things. But when it comes down to it, I can't give you the education that you need in God's Word just by myself, unless I teach you to learn for yourself and study for yourself. Because if you'll study God's Word for yourself at your home, in your own time, you will be a man or a woman of faith, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But apart from that, you will stand ashamed before God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, there's three places where I found this same word, spoudazo, or translated here, study. I found it in three other places that I think would be it would be good for us to learn from. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 9 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 9. Now, in this passage, you know the last verse, verse number 12 here. We're going to read down to verse number 12. You know that verse, but most people, I don't think, know verses 9 through 11. Look at it. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now what he's saying is that when Jesus fulfilled the law, he entered into a rest. Not just a rest of one day a week. By the way, Shabbat has always been Saturday. You cannot find a place in the Bible where Sabbath became Sunday. It's always been Saturday. I believe it always will be. Saturday is the day of rest. Sunday, I believe, and I present to you, is the day for the Lord's work. And that's why we meet on Sunday, and I believe we do so rightly. But notice he says that there is a spiritual rest that God wants us to enter into, a rest that comes by faith, a rest from thinking, you know, that it's our works of righteousness that save us. It's a rest from all the labor that we try to do on our own capacity. But it's a rest that we enter because God's grace gives us the power to rest from all of our carnal works and to live by faith. Notice what it says in verse number 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That word labor is spoudazo. It's the same word in 2 Peter 2 that says study. He's saying labor, as in be diligent, as in study, as in work, as in be, you know, give speed, make haste. Give your effort, be prompt, be earnest. Enter into God's rest. And look at what the very next verse says. For the word of God is quick and powerful. See, the way you enter into that rest, the labor is to study the word of God, is to labor in the word of God. The Bible says in another place in Hebrews that the milk of the word is for the baby, immature Christian. But the strong meat of the word is something that we as Christians can consume when we have by use exercised ourselves in the word of God. See, you will never get to the place where you understand the meat of the word unless you've practiced to grow from the milk of the word. And then as you... It's a sad thing that there's some people that they're experts in the simple things of God's word, but they've never moved on to the deeper things of God's word. Study, my friend. Labor to enter. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we're going to come back to that verse in just a little while because we see that it ties in a little bit later in our message. But notice that this study of the sword, this labor of the sword, the entering into this rest has to do, it's combined with the use of the sword. Let me give you a couple of things about this sword that the Romans used. He says that it's a two-edged sword. The Roman sword was a short sword. Now, most warriors back when used to have long swords. You know, if you're riding on a horse, you have a long cavalry sword. And it's long, so you got the reach. And a lot of warriors would use a long sword so that they could reach farther. But the Roman soldier's sword was a short sword. And it conquered the world. But in order for it to be effective, they had to train with it. An incredible amount of training. They had to practice with it to use it. But when they practiced and they invested their time to learn how to use it, the Romans conquered the world with this little sword. Because it was a short sword, it was a close-up sword. It's for close-up battle. This word of God is meant for personal one-on-one battle. It's for close-up battle. It's an intimate battle. It's a straight sword, like the Romans would use it for thrusting, piercing through. Not so much for slicing or hacking, but for stabbing. And God's word gets right to the point. It's not a crude weapon. It's a very subtle and sophisticated weapon that pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. It was double-sided. It cuts both ways. Just like God's word slices in whatever direction it moves. God's word is not just one thing. It cuts every way. The word of God is like this sword. And like the Roman sword that we see a picture of here, the Roman sword took a great deal of study and practice to use. And so our Word of God, our sword, it takes a great deal of labor and study to understand it and to use it. Now, don't get me wrong. This Bible is simple enough for children to understand. And yet, it's deep enough for scholars to be overwhelmed. God's word is like that. It's like a sea. It's like an ocean that babies can play in without being overcome, and yet scholars could drown in because it is so deep. God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Hey, study. Notice that we see this spoudazo, the study of the sword and of entering into that rest. Look at this next one, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 10. And he says here, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Now let me tell you about this. The word give diligence is that same word, spoudazo. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, here he says study to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. Well, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, Here's the thing. Some people have this wrong, and you know, you guys, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you guys know this. You can't get to heaven by how good you are. You can't. You can't earn salvation by being good. It's not if your good outweighs your bad that you get to heaven. That's not how it works. We all know that. But sometimes, because we know that, and we get so lazy we use it as an excuse to be lazy from doing the works. We say, well, I don't have to work to be saved. And Satan tricks us into thinking that we don't need to work at all. He says here, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, he isn't saying work for your salvation, but he is saying you better make sure that you have it. You better make sure that you're saved. James puts it this way. He says, faith without works is dead. You say that you have faith without works? Well, that's great. You know, paraphrasing, he says, whoopee. I'll show you my faith by my works. You show me your faith without your works. You prove to me that you're saved by not doing anything for God. If you think you can, you go ahead. Basically is what James is saying. He's saying, but as for me, the only way I know to show that I really believe is by doing something for God. And when's the last time you gave diligence to make your calling and election sure? See, the sad truth is that so many people who call themselves Christians do so because they prayed a prayer. And don't get me wrong, we should call on the name of the Lord and be saved. We should pray a prayer. But it's not praying a magic prayer that saves us. It's the faith that cries out to God for salvation that saves us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And sometimes we get deceived into thinking that, oh, because I'm saved, I don't have to do anything for God. That's not the Bible. And that's not God's will for your life. And by the way, that's not the Holy Spirit telling you that. Now, I'm not telling you this to make you afraid. Oh, no, am I going to hell now because I'm not working for God? I'm not trying to make you think that either, because that's false doctrine too. You don't lose your salvation by not doing something for God. The whole point is that if you have a real faith, it will play out in how you live. It will play out in what you do. If you have a real faith. And that's why Paul is saying, or I'm sorry, why Peter is saying here, Paul says it in another place, but Peter says in 2 Peter, give all diligence, give diligence or study or spudazzo to make sure of your calling and election. To make it sure. You got to make sure that you're saved. Because I can't do it for you. You got to make sure that you put your faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. I can't do it for you. And if you're backslidden to the point where you think you don't have to do anything for God because you're saved, my friends, you're either backslidden or you're not saved. Make your calling and election sure. And demonstrate your faith by living for Christ. Not earning his love, not earning his salvation. But does he not deserve us working everything for him? He deserves that. So study of the sword, spudazzo, the sword, spudazzo, surety of your salvation. And notice 2 Peter chapter, just a couple verse chapters over, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 14, we're going to spudazzo or study spotlessness, okay? Sinlessness. Right, Brother Todd? Brother Todd wants to say that Christ is without sin, not sinless. Because some people use this idea of sinless to mean having less sin. Well, Jesus didn't have any sin. He's without sin. But you know what? We should be spotless. Now, having less spots than we have? Sure, if that's the way you want to look at the word spotless. But if it also means having without spot, that's what we should do as well. Because the Bible says, be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Notice what he says. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. That's that same word, spudazzo. Be diligent, study, prove, be earnest, be prompt, be endeavor, labor, study, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. He doesn't say, I want you to be spotless as in less spots than somebody else. He says, I want you to be without spot. How is it possible for me to be without spot? Well, only by the righteousness of Christ. See, no matter how many good things I do on my own, I will never be as good as Christ. However, the Bible says that there is a righteousness that is greater than our righteousness. What's the Bible say about our righteousness? For all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But Romans tells us that there is a righteousness that comes by faith. What righteousness? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we can be found of him without spot, in peace, without spot, blameless. But we've got to be diligent. We've got to study to enter into that state of blamelessness. How? By faith. It's not by how good you work to enter into that state. It's by walking in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the difference. If I could just try and make this real practical for you. Who's ever had a sin that just kept nagging at them and they try and get rid of it and they fall back to it? Oh, come on, raise your hand. All of us have. And I don't know what yours is, and frankly, I'm not asking. Okay? Praise God, because we'd all be embarrassed. We'd all be ashamed, and we should be ashamed. But here's the point. The point is that when we in our flesh look at that familiar sin and say, I'm gonna straighten up this time. I'm not gonna go back. I'm never gonna do that again. I'm never gonna do it again. Who's ever said that to themselves? Hey, did you do it again? You know why? Because you were doing it by your own power. But here's the thing. If you walk by faith, you never have to do it again. And here's how you make this really real. The next time you have a temptation, say, God, I can't do this. Help me not to do it right now. See, Satan wants to get us focused on every future time in the future, as if we have enough willpower, I could say, I'm never going to do it again. I'm never going to do it again. Whereas God says, right now, just don't do it right now. And if you don't do it right now, guess what? You just had a victory. You just walked by God's grace. You just walked by faith. And the righteousness of God transformed you from that creature of addiction to a creature of faith. And you just had a victory right now. You were walking in the righteousness of Christ. That's how you did it. You didn't do it by how many good times you've had. You did it because God gave you the power. Right here, right now. In the present tense. My God's strength, my God's grace is sufficient for my weakness. Yours too. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's three things, the spudazo, the study that we've seen in the scripture today. We need to spudazo, that word of God, enter that labor, study to enter that rest, and the word of God is the way we do it. Number two, the study of surety to make sure, give all diligence, spudazo, study to make your calling and election sure, make sure of your own salvation. And Christian, you may be sure of your salvation, but right now, are you sure that you are walking? Because this idea of spudazo is not a finished deal. It's something we have to keep doing. See, diligence is not, I did it, I accomplished it, it's finished. Diligence is, okay, I've had a victory, let's have the next victory. Let's do it again for God. Let's do it again. Let's practice it. Let's prove it. Study. The study of surety for our salvation and the study of spotlessness, or to be without spot, maybe I should say. Be diligent, spudazo, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, blameless. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and I thank you for your mercy to us, dear God. Lord, we're not worthy, because all of our righteousnesses on our own without you are filthy rags. But your power and your grace is sufficient for us. Dear God, I know that you can give us the grace to live in victory in our lives. Lord, we ask you that you help us to examine ourselves in the light of your word. You say that if we would judge ourselves, we would not need to be judged. Help us to judge ourselves right now. Are we being diligent in our faith, or are we just coasting in our carelessness and laziness? Are we walking by faith into all godliness, or do we think we've already achieved? Dear God, we ask you that you help us to prove our own calling and election by daily showing that you're working in our lives and in our hearts. And Lord, if there is anyone here that is not sure of their salvation, make them know that
The first step to proving your own calling and election is sure is to call on Jesus Christ for salvation. If there is anyone here that needs to take that first step to be a disciple, Lord, I ask you that you show them. In Jesus' name I pray, with our heads bowed for a moment of invitation. You know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about something. I don't know what, but you know what he's spoken to you about. Why don't you come on down to the altar and do business with God? Perhaps you would say, Pastor, please pray for me. I need to take that first step of discipleship and to be saved. Is there anyone that would lift their hand? Pray for me, Pastor. I need to make sure of my salvation. Let's all stand. Brother Harvey's going to sing in just a moment. But perhaps you need to speak to me about that salvation issue or that baptism or church membership, or maybe you just have a special prayer request. Come on down and get my attention. Brother Harvey.
Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find the release, healing their iniquity contrition.
Praise the Lord, my friends. I hope you enjoyed our little jaunt into Greek this morning. I don't believe that you have to understand Greek to be close to the Lord or to be
fulfilled in your life of Christianity. But I do believe that if we can study, some of these things that the Greek can show us do help us to understand, maybe a little bit easier, maybe a little bit sooner than we would know without looking at the Greek at all. So don't be afraid of looking at the Greek. It's easier than ever to consult the Greek and the Hebrew these days, because a lot of Android programs will even give you the option right in that program to look up the Greek word or the Hebrew word and see what it says. And I just used a $15 program in this little study to find out what spoudazo meant and where else spoudazo was used in the scripture. So don't be afraid to look at the Greek. It's easier than ever. No, in the history of the church, it's never been as easy to understand what Greek words and Hebrew words meant but for the common man. And let me also say that if you enjoyed the first part of the message today, I didn't get to finish the second part. So I actually only got through one point today, this morning, and so we're going to finish tonight. So if you want to see the to be continued part, come on tonight at 6 o'clock. There's a blessing for you, my friend. And we only studied one third of the verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We got to look at how do we show ourselves and how do we, don't miss tonight, 6 o'clock. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you grace as you study to show yourself approved to him. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace as you enter into his shalom rest, his Sabbath rest. We're going to have Brother Harvey close us in prayer in just a moment. But don't forget this Saturday, the nursing home. Those folks need our love. Too many people forget about the folks that end up in the nursing home. And we need to show them that they're still cared about. Brother Harvey. Yeah.